our priest is to offer a mass for the faithful, and they are supposed to attend, which means both be there and be attentive. But why? Because the Mass is a renewal of Calvary, in which the same priest and victim who died on the cross now offers himself to his Heavenly Father in an unbloody manner every time, the double consecration to symbolize the separation of blood from body is reenacted by a validly ordained priest. That's what the Mass is. But why should anyone attend Mass? That means pay any attention to Mass. I don't mean devoutly attend Mass, but even physically be present, unless he first believes that what the Church teaches about the Mass is true. So many people nowadays, I'm told, especially the young, I'm told this by their parents and teachers, they are not going to Mass because they say, it is not meaningful to me. And maybe they're right. But now, the awful question, who is to teach and explain this faith and show by his words and especially by his conduct that he believes the Mass is meaningful? Is it not above all the one who offers the holy sacrifice, that is, the priest? A priest is to administer the sacraments to the faithful. But the meaning of the sacraments is meaningless without faith. Pouring water on a child's head while pronouncing a few words, or listening to a tale of sins and giving absolution, or rubbing a touch of oil on a sick person's forehead in the sign of a cross, or placing a small wafer on a person's tongue and telling him this is the body of Christ. All of these are only so many curious actions that defy rational explanation, unless those who perform them believe these are sublime mysteries. Only faith can see the unseen. If the priests believe in the mysteries they administer, and how appropriate that word is for the sacraments, which, as you know, is the word regularly used by our Eastern fellow Christians. The seven sacraments are seven mysteries. They sure are. If the priests believe in the ministries, which is mysteries, that they offer the faithful, and according to the measure of their belief, in the ordinary course of providence, so will the faithful believe, for they respond to in devotion according to their belief. They will receive and respond if the priests who administer the sacraments are themselves firm and deep believers in the mysteries they administer. A priest is to teach the faithful what they must do to be saved, with a stress on the do to be saved. It was no coincidence that in Christ's last message to the apostles, he told them to make disciples of all nations. What kind of disciples? By teaching them, quote, the Savior, to observe all the commandments I gave you, unquote. Note that the heart of the gospel teaching is the obligation to keep the commandments taught by the Savior. In fact, he is Savior to the saved only if they observe the moral precepts he commanded to be obeyed. Faith is not something you merely believe in. Faith is something you do. These precepts, we know, include some very difficult commandments, like monogamy in marriage. In a country that has now reached, for the first time in its 2-century history, of now more than 50% divorces each year, commandments about chastity of the eyes and patience under duress and love of one's enemies and loving others, even as Christ to his God has been loving us, and forgiving injuries and obedience to those who in God's name have authority over us, and poverty of spirit, and humility of heart, and peaceableness, and kindness, and feeding the hungry, and clothing the naked, and treating the least of those who enter our lives as we would Christ. What a joy it was to have me see a priest in Albuquerque this past Saturday. Absolutely helpless. We would call him a basket case. Tenderly cared for, down to the least of his physical needs, by a young man who evidently takes Christ's precept of charity seriously. But for this, we need faith. And Christ, to impress us with the gravity of what he was telling us to do, and to make sure he was not giving us options, but obligations, shortly before he died, he made it plain that our very salvation will depend on the faithful observance of these injunctions. Those who keep them will be saved. Those who do not will be lost. But how, we ask, how is it possible, even conceivable, that anyone will listen to the solemn demands of Christ and keep them unless he believes in them? He must believe that Christ's commandments were really enjoined by the Son of God. He must believe they are necessary for salvation. He must believe that the same Christ who commands also gives the grace to do what is commanded. In a word, he must have faith. And once again, we return to the priest, who is the mediator in the sense of communicator of the divine will to a weak human family that is terrified at the divine will. The priest's strong faith in what he teaches will in large measure determine how persuasively and effectively his teaching will affect the faithful. Nothing convinces like conviction, and nothing is more persuasive than certitude. If, speaking for my fellow priests and myself, if we priests are convinced of what we teach others to believe and carry into practice, the people will be able to follow not just our words, but our example. But if we fail them, God, and this is a prayer, God help them. This is what our people most need in today's confused and convulsive world. Priests who are men of faith, who see the unseen, and who are therefore able to tell everyone who enters the ambit of their ministry about the passing nature of this life and the glorious city on high that awaits all who believe. However, this is not only a matter of good example, although it includes that too. It partakes of that mysterious law of procreation, which obtains not only in the order of nature, but also in the realm of grace. Like reproduces like. And under God, there are only miraculous exceptions. Like priest, like people, faith reproduces faith. Or as we also sadly know, unbelief reproduces unbelief. God wants us priests to be strong and clear and sure in our faith. Because he wants the multitude redeemed by the blood of his Son to believe. We priests have the rare, undeserved privilege of being the instruments of his grace to the people. But we also have the terrifying duty of being faithful to our calling. I still have a short epilogue. If we priests are to transmit a strong faith to the faithful, we must ourselves have experienced the realities of faith by nourishing them at the fountains of prayer. Prayerful union with Jesus Christ, the High Priest, is the only way that a priest can remain priestly. As the saddest thing on earth is a priestless priest. The priest must have learned from easy and frequent converse with the Master who the Master is, what the Master wants, how the Master wants his priests to minister to the people. That is why all the faithful should pray daily and add sacrifice, and if need be, suffering to their prayer daily for Christ's priests, begging the Savior to protect them from evil and the snares of the devil, and to give them that love of his Sacred Heart from which all who enter the life of a priest can be nourished. Lord Jesus, the Eternal High Priest, bless your priests. Keep them close to yourself and make them what you want them to be, channels of your saving grace to a sinful human race. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.